Welcome to the GOG Cast, brought to you by XSplit Broadcaster. Simple yet powerful, live streaming and recording. And now, your host, Leah.
Another Girls on Games podcast. My name is Leah, and this is episode 108. And it's like the weekend before Easter, so some of us have some free time. We're gonna play some more games. Lots of things going down. I apologize in advance. I had a Senka set at work, so that means this could be a fast and loose podcast. But you know what? That could be
smashed.
No, I'm not that smashed. Okay, I'm all right. That voice you hear?
Says the girl who dropped a glass of water.
Shush! I did not. That was my dog. That was my dog.
Yeah, blame it on the dog. That's good, Leah. That's perfect.
He whacked my hand. All right, mm-hmm, that voice you're hearing? That's Simon. Simon, how you doing, my friend?
Much better.
Good to have you back. Good to have you back.
God, I was so sick.
We were missing you last week. We needed definition on what the hell a teraflop is. Like, legit.
You'll be disappointed in my answer.
Okay, all right. We'll get to that later. Kat, girl, how you doing?
I'm doing good. I am holding strong. Everybody around me is sick, and I'm like, I don't know how I'm surviving, so I think I've already had it.
Many times over?
Yeah. Because, I mean, by this time, like, even my coworker was hospitalized for some tests today because he's so sick. And I'm like, and I'm not getting it. So I must have already have it.
Whoa.
You probably have all the strains of human viruses in your body right now, Kat. Well, that's probably what's happening.
January was a shit show for me.
That's
so
insane.
I am thinking that's what happened.
Look,
I got sick before everybody else.
It's finally getting sunny out there. We can get some vitamin D. We can become a little less pasty and enjoy the sun, but we can play video
games.
Right. Right. What we really want to do is stay indoors and play all the games. All right, let's get into what everybody's playing. Simo, you were sick, but it looked like you still managed to jump into some new games. What's going down?
Yeah. Okay, so since last Tuesday, I think I played two games for a grand total of 4 hours, maybe. But those two games have been Bayonetta.
Ooh.
That came out on PC actually last Tuesday, and I streamed a little bit of it, and holy shit, I'm gonna have a lot of fun playing this game. It's absolutely over the top, crazy, insane, and theatrical. I don't know how to describe it, but so far it looks really fun, so I'm gonna have a good time. And I dove in just a little bit into Yooka-Laylee, actually, that came out also this week. I played, I want to say, an hour or something. So far, so good. Camera sucks, but kind of expected for that kind of game. Music, absolutely fantastic. Grant Kirkhope, again, doing an amazing job. So I'm liking it so far. It's very easy, but no, it's just the beginning of the game. So they're kind of holding your hand a lot, but we'll see how it goes. But so far, so good.
I'm looking forward to trying that out.
Yeah, it's very pretty. It's not like, you know, pretty graphics or anything. Like, it's cartoony as hell, but it's like the colors are super vibrant and like they're exciting and they're fun, and it's cool.
That's what you expect from the guys who did Banjo-Kazooie.
Yay!
Bright,
which is my favorite
N64
game.
Cute. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
How about you, Kat? What have you been playing?
I'm still on Breath of the Wild.
Who isn't?
I gonna be honest, I haven't had a lot of time to play. So I've been sneaking in an hour here and there, so I'm not progressing very quickly. I only have one beast left.
Okay.
And about 50 shrines and like 800 something seeds. Fuck, there's so many seeds.
Just like, don't even think about the seeds. The seeds are a write-off. If someone manages to get the 900 seeds, they're batshit cray.
I hunt them like crazy. Like, I can spot a mile away what's a seed. Like, you know, the ring in the water of either rocks or either of lilies, a rock to get those little stumps to start a race. As soon as I see, like, a single boulder on top of a hill, I'm like, where do I have to put
it? That's a cool rock.
Yeah, I'm like,
lift it up.
And it's like, I'm really, really, like, aggressive to find these seeds. And after, like, 30 plus hours of gameplay, I'm at like 155.
Wow, you're doing well.
And there's 900.
You're doing well. I'm not that high.
It's just, I don't know. I don't, so I don't know how to get the 900, but I'm just doing it so that I can carry one of every weapon, basically.
I'm excited to see 100% speedrun completion of this game to get the 900 Korok seeds. And
you're going to have to like go up and down like in a zigzag mode of the whole map.
How many shrines is there again?
120.
120. Mm. So
I thought it was 150.
I think it's 120.
I think it's 120.
I think as well. That's I know there's a 2 in there, so it's either 152 or 120, and 120 makes more sense. So.
Yeah.
Okay.
Nice,
so
number.
I don't know how many shrines I'm at. I must be almost done with the shrines then.
Really?
I got a shit ton of shrines.
Well, that's impossible because there's some that you haven't been able. I'm sure you can't get yet because you're gonna need some of the tools that they give you when you go into what's your last beast, the lightning one. Gerudo Valley.
Yeah, you don't need that for anything. The only useful one is really just the bird one.
That's a lie. I like the defense one.
No, of course it's useful, but I mean
there's some down there though. There's some shrines and stuff down that area.
In the desert. Mm.
But is do you need to defeat Ganon to find all the shrines?
No, I don't think so.
But there's also a couple shrines in Hyrule Castle.
Yeah, that I figured. Yeah. But I'm...
No, I don't think you need to... In order to... you can go into Ganon and have every shrine done.
How many
done.
Shrines am I
You can
then?
Go into Ganon and have nothing done in the game. You can just walk up to Ganon with your pot lid and your fucking tree branch.
It'll be wicked hard, but it's possible.
You can do it.
We've seen the videos.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I was running away from all the beasts, all the hard enemies. Mm. And at one point I realized, like, I found 3 fairies and I upgraded all my armor. You think I should be able to take some of these on? And basically, yeah, it's like the next rock monster or the next big one with the eye, the...
Hinox?
Yeah, the Hinox.
Oh, they're super easy.
Yeah,
shoot
I know.
Him in the eye.
I shot him in the eye twice and he died and I was like, okay.
Yeah, the Hinox are easy. The real tough ones at endgame are Lynels.
Lynels.
The really tough
but there's
ones.
Different levels of Hinoxes. Okay, so...
And
so,
Lynels as well.
Yeah, disclaimer here. I've been sucked back in hardcore, so I've decided... I've got a checklist. I've like legit sat down and made a checklist of stuff that I need to do. That I went and watched a video that said 35 things that you can do after finishing the story of Zelda Breath of the Wild and made myself a list. It's sitting here next to me. I'm checking them off as I go.
Mm-hmm. That's smart.
There's so many things, but I couldn't get over the fact that there was stuff that I had no idea. Masks? I had no idea.
Oh, from that monster guy?
Yeah. No idea.
I got them because at one point, you know, like the Blood Moon... respawns all the enemies.
Right.
At one point, bitch is just walking through to get some seeds. Like
I know.
pop on a mask and just be like, boop, 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 boop. Especially when you go back to like to the plateau and things like that to farm like wood and mats and things like that. Mm. Sometimes I just go back to the plateau because the enemies are easy and I just bomb down the forest for wood. And I wear my bogobbling mask because it's just like, oh, look, just a bogobbling.
Nothing to see here.
Yeah, just like fucking killing the whole forest, but okay. I'm like, whoop, whoop,
whoop, whoop. No problem.
Gotta build a city.
Apologies in advance if you guys can hear yelling in the background. The NHL playoffs are on, and my husband is watching the Leaf game, so I apologize in advance. Twofold, because he's watching the Leaf game.
I was about to say,
I'm
the
sorry,
Habs aren't
Leafs fans. I'm sorry.
I was about to say, Habs aren't playing tonight. Who's
no,
watching?
The Leafs are. All right, so I haven't played Zelda. That sucked me back in. I'll be playing that after this podcast is over because tomorrow I have off, so I want to play. I also just received a game in the mail that I can't talk about yet, I don't think. I have to go reread my reviews, but you guys know, I'm sure, looking at the Switch and what's coming out lately, you can probably figure out what that is. And I also played a little game called Flintalk, which is a procedurally generated platformer 8-bit style with Captain Flinthook as the lead character. And he is a space pirate and it is probably one of the prettiest and most well-animated pixel art games I have ever seen. I was blown away at how fluid that was. So yeah, topic of the show is actually an interview with Dom, who is the game designer from Tribute Games, who is making Flint Hook, which is coming out the 18th. That would be the day after this releases, or maybe even the day that this episode releases, depending on our embargo. And yeah, I highly recommend it so far. I only played about half an hour or so. You are going to grind. It is about being a master of the platforming mechanic and knowing how to use that hook and freezing time and your blaster, and it is a hell of a lot of fun. Simon, you're gonna love this game.
Okay.
I feel like it's got you written all over it.
I just love your pitch. You're gonna have to grind. Like, what?
No. I feel like no. But the thing is that like. Okay, so it's got Dom explains it better in the interview coming up, but the. You know, normally when you go play, it reminds me a lot of Mega Man, but think of like doing Mega Man, but having a different level and different bad guys every single time you jump in and not knowing what it's going to give you.
Okay.
I think you'll enjoy this.
I mean, I think I really kind of looked into it and it looked really fun and interesting, so we'll see.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to playing more. That is for sure.
Cool.
That is for sure. All right, let's take a quick break before we get into the news, and we'll be right back. It's news time. Cat. Nintendo's back at it again. What's going down?
Well, you know how they like to create a rarity with their products. The Nintendo Classic is officially discontinued.
What?
Yeah. So essentially, yeah. Why does Nintendo hate money?
Because Nintendo likes to out Nintendo Nintendo.
Yeah.
Oh God. Anyway, so they said that it was never the plan for it to be a permanent console. It was supposed to be a limited edition one-time thing. The only reason they did the second shipment is because of the high demand. So they basically agreed to make more because people wanted it, and some pre-orders were not honored because of that. So they made more. But then after that, they're like, okay, cool. We're done. We're moving on. This was a limited edition. Like, sell it for thousands of dollars on eBay or something. It's like, why?
I have never had more people ask me, where do I get a Nintendo Classic? Or where do I get a console as the Nintendo Classic? Like, nobody has asked me. Like, people come out of the woodwork saying, I want a Nintendo Classic. Where do I get one? All the time. What research team and Nintendo figured that this was not going to be as popular as it is?
No, they know it. Of course, they know it's going to be as popular as it. They can't not know. It's just how ass backwards Nintendo is with everything they do when it comes to marketing and research and stuff. They just go a completely different way. Like, it's amazing. It sells like hotcakes. We'll stop fucking making them.
But Nintendo doesn't make any extra money from the resale or people putting them up on high price on eBay. That does not benefit Nintendo at all. Nintendo would make more money putting more on the market. Why don't they want to do that?
I guess they think they want to sell the games at $5-$10 a piece on Wii U Virtual Console or something.
Or Switch Virtual Console whenever that comes.
Switch, yeah. Well, that's what they want to do.
I expect next year, well, maybe not this holiday season because they just released the Switch, but in a holiday season or two, I expect the SNES Classic, and they're going to pull the same shit. And they're just going to appeal to the nostalgia of our generation or different generations, the people that maybe they think the Super Nintendo is their console more than the Nintendo, and it's going to sell like hotcakes, and they're going to be like, oh, we didn't expect it for you to be so popular. Oh my God, what a surprise. And then they're going to ship more, and then they're going to discontinue it, and then it's going to sell for thousands of dollars on fucking eBay.
Why didn't they just tell us it was going to be a limited edition console?
Apparently... Apparently, this was the plan all along, according to Nintendo in a statement to IGN.
Well, they lied.
Well, yeah. I mean, if it's still selling, like, just put up another, like, pre-order or whatever and see how many more people want to buy it. Put them on a list and then make a third shipment if you have to. If you don't want to, like, have overstock and have warehouses or have retailers sitting on them, just make a list and make that many consoles and sell them. Because
spoiler.
What?
They won't.
I know, because they don't know.
They're dumb.
They don't know. With my feelings.
They could even up the price by $50 easy and still
and
sell them.
Buy them. How's the do we know how the Sega one is it out? Is the Sega one out?
I haven't heard two words on the Sega one. We talked about it.
Is it out?
I remember us talking about it in a podcast. Is it released yet? I'm not sure.
To the Googles.
Da 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 da. I don't know what the rest of that song sounds like. Sorry. Just trying to make it like a nice transition here. Sorry, folks. Simon?
Yeah, it seems that it's out, but it's like filled with like bugs and hardware issues and stuff, so that's why it's not like selling at all.
Well then.
Okay. Because that's one thing, when Nintendo puts out a console, it's usually pretty solid. I know the Switch have had issues, but they're pretty minor compared to, like, the Xbox Ring of Death.
Yeah, that's true. Nintendo stuff is usually pretty solid. They do their best. Better than many other companies. Oh my. Okay then, we'll lay the Nintendo Classic to rest. RIP. Moving on. What else you got for us, Kat?
So Microsoft is going to offer digital refunds in the Xbox and Windows stores. And it's basically the same thing as on Steam.
Uplay and good old
Uplay
games.
Uplay has that too?
I think it does.
Oh.
Yeah. So it's basically you can ask for a self-service refund within 14 days of purchase if you played less than 2 hours. Of course, DLC season passes and add-ons, all the extra shit to make you spend more money, are not eligible. We're just talking about the core game. And the game must have been downloaded and launched before requesting a refund, of course. So basically, you have to prove that you installed it, you tried it, and you hated it.
Hmm.
So, and yeah. That's basically the same thing as Steam.
Have you guys ever encountered a game like that you bought digitally and then you were like, shit, this sucks. I want to return it. What,
yes.
Simon?
Do you want to guess?
No Man's Sky?
Yes. good one. You went right on it. Yeah. I played for like 10 hours on console. I'm like, I can't play this shit on console. Then I bought it for PC and I'm like, I can't believe I just bought this shit on PC. And I just returned it after like, I think I played like an hour and 45 minutes and I just, nope. Don't care. Don't want it. Return it. Bye-bye.
Kat, did you ever do that?
No. Yeah. No. I'm very lucky that a lot of my friends have extensive game libraries. If I want to try something, I usually install them from their libraries. And then if I like it, I will buy it.
I'm also pretty, savvy or careful when it comes to buying games. So unless I'm really, really sure that I'm going to like the game, then I usually don't buy it. Usually. You know?
I bought Titanfall 2, and I still haven't turned it on.
Oh, dude.
Dude, no
so
time,
good.
Man. No
it's so
time.
Good.
And it's not like I don't want to. No time.
But that one, you won't want a refund.
No, definitely
oh,
won't.
It's way past that now. I bought that in, like, January.
No.
When I had
so
free time to play games, and now my game time is sucked up with good games.
Titanfall is a good game.
I know
Titanfall
it's a good
game,
but I mean
game.
Like new games, new
okay,
games.
Okay, fine.
Games.
Go play your new fancy Zmelda Schmelda.
You are playing it too. Don't do this to me. All right, Simon, what do you got for us? What kind of news stories?
Yeah, I got actually some pretty cool stuff. Well, the first one's a cool stuff anyways. In 2018, the Las Vegas Strip will see its first ever dedicated esports arena, which is going to replace a nightclub in Vegas on the Strip. So I think that's actually pretty flipping fantastic. It's going to be called the Esport Arena Las Vegas, and it's going to take place in a 30,000 square foot nightclub. And they're like, they're going to host all sorts of tournaments. I think there's already a Counter-Strike tournament organized and ready to go for the opening of the arena. The company says that they plan to open 10 to 15 new esports arena all over North America in the next couple years. So that's pretty flipping cool.
What company?
They are called, I have the name right here, Esports Arena. And it's investors Allied Esports,
okay,
which is basically just like a conglomerate of other smaller companies, I guess, in all over the world, Santa Ana, California, Beijing, and Europe, I guess. So,
have you heard of them before?
Never.
Well, that's interesting.
Is it gonna happen? I don't know, but it's gonna be interesting to see, because it's cool to build a venue, then you have to actually have people come to your venue. So,
but
that's
do you know if like official big name tournaments are already looking at that venue to host their events?
Not at all. Not for now. I mean, they're build it and they will come, I guess. That's their mentality. Yeah.
I was in Vegas twice last year within the course of 3 months, and I was like, okay, I'm done with Vegas for a little while. This might be a reason to go back.
Honestly, like, the best esport tournaments, I feel, are in stadiums and arenas and stuff. Mm. And I feel that I don't think it's that market. I think there's clearly room for smaller venues and for smaller tournaments, but to have like a big enough venue to have, I don't know, like 3,000 people that can just come and watch the game and watch it live, because it's not like every tournament that's going to fill an arena, of course, you know, unless it's your international or your major tournaments or that kind of stuff, you're not going to fill an arena. But for smaller, you know, smaller, medium-sized tournament, I think it's a good idea. I think it could be interesting.
Let's not lie. Or dance around the subject here. The reason why they want to jump into Vegas is the gambling side.
Oh, yeah, of course. Gambling's always been really big in sport and now in esports, so
it's. Have you guys been to Vegas and seen one of the sports bars with
Never went to Vegas.
Of stats up on the wall, the light up signs. Kat, do you remember that from being in Vegas?
We didn't go to a sports bar. We were there for Cirque du Soleil and tequila shots.
Tequila! There was a sports bar in my hotel, and yeah, it had to be like three stories high, the screen of just sports stats. And it would like rifle through NBA, NFL, NHL, you know, MLB, all that stuff. Now it's going to have esports, I imagine.
I mean, I think it's awesome. You know, but betting and esport have come together now more than ever. Especially for, you know, there was the whole gambling scandal, that kind of stuff. So it's real gambling when scandals arrive. You know, shit's getting serious. But no, it's cool. I'm excited to see what's going to come out of it.
Would you make a trip to Vegas to specifically go see that?
I mean, maybe. I've never done a trip to anywhere to go watch esport.
The good thing about the Strip is there's a lot of stuff.
That's true.
And even though you're going to Vegas to party, there's other stuff to do during the day on the Strip. So, and Vegas is cheap, very like affordable to go. So that's an upside. Like that's something that, you know, we could be like, oh, that tournament's interesting. Well, we can also go to Vegas and, you know, party and see shows.
Yeah.
And
yeah. There's the whole thing around where you're going.
Yeah. Even with our poopy Canadian dollar against an American, it's actually worth it.
Damn you, poopy dollar.
Especially if you're in the low seasons.
Mm-hmm. That's the truth. Simon, you got more esports news for us? Well, what's going on?
Yeah, actually, it's a debate that's been raging on in the community for quite some time now that has officially been settled this week. Actually, Wednesday, March 24th. So last week? 2 weeks ago? Whatever. All that to say that it is officially called esports. No capital S's, no dashes, no whatever the heck. It's an esport. It's all in one word. The AP, the Associated Press, officially made their came out with their style guide, and esport is all one word.
So no capital S?
Super, no capital S's, no dashes, no spaces, no nothing. It's an e-sport.
If you use it at the beginning of a sentence, do you capitalize the E?
Yep.
Okay.
The word is e-sport. That's what it is. That's so I found that that's what I've been saying for a while. I think a lot of the community also, that's what we've been saying for a while, so that the AP is like, yep, that's what it is. It's e-sport. There's no shinimajig. It's an e-sport. That's the word for it.
It's nice having some standardization, and it's nice for us because I always self-doubt myself when I write it, and I need to teach my Google Documents and Word doc how to spell that word.
Well, I mean, now that it's official, I'm assuming that Google will make the corrections and in future patches, but it is official. I can send you the link.
No more squiggly red lines under the word esports for me.
That's what it is. So I thought that was interesting news that I found cool.
That is pretty cool. Interesting news. I got a bit of news. So yesterday, which would be, we record on Thursday, so it was Wednesday, there was a Nintendo Direct, which was actually spun to be a Nintendo Direct about Splatoon and Mario Kart. Was it Splatoon and Mario? No, it was supposed to be Splatoon and ARMS. That's the thing. That's where I got really confused. So when they announced this Nintendo Direct, it was supposed to be really focused on ARMS and Mario and Splatoon. So yesterday when I sat down, I was just going to like passively watch this and be like, okay, I'm kind of interested in ARMS. I'm curious to see what else they have to say. But Splatoon 2, I was like, okay, and after playing the demo, I'm pretty intrigued. So I'm ready for this. Whoa, the amount of information that we got in that Nintendo Direct. So, along with Splatoon 2 and ARMS news, we got release dates for Puyo Puyo Tetris, April 25th, Minecraft Nintendo Switch Edition, May 11th, Disgaea 5 Complete, May 23rd, which is also going to have a demo, so you get a little bit of a taste, Ultra Street Fighter 2 The Final Challengers, May 26th, ARMS, which I'm still on the fence about, coming out June 16th. Splatoon 2 is coming July 21st. Fate Estella, July 25th. Sonic Mania, sometime this summer. Sign Mora X, also sometime this summer. Project Miraku, it's a working title. I don't know what that means. Also coming this summer. And Namco Museum is also coming this summer. We also learned that there's going to be a Monopoly game on the Switch, which is kind of intriguing, which is supposed to come the fall. And Payday 2 is coming to the Switch in 2017. That's the one that really confused me. And Nintendo's going to have like a hardcore R-rated? I want to say it's R-rated or 18A. I'm not sure. But Payday is going to be on the Switch. Interesting. On top of that, we also got the announcement of Catherine's going to be very excited about this. Nintendo Switch Joy-Cons in the wonderful, beautiful shade of bright yellow.
Yes, gaga.
First thing, as I shared that, Kat's like, it matches my office.
Yes.
And battery packs for the Joy-Cons, which take two AA batteries and add a little bit of extra pack on the back of the Joy-Cons. Now, I like the idea of extra battery power, but adding, like, I love the form factor of the Switch the way it is now with the Joy-Cons attached to the side. I really like the feel of it. But adding those extra battery packs, I don't know. It could either make it like really more solid in my hands, or it could start feeling like the Wii U gamepad. Have you guys got any thoughts on this? Like, it's one of those I gotta see it to believe it and put it in my hands, but I'm a little nervous.
I got used to the Wii U gamepad, so I don't know what to say.
Yeah. I'm actually, after playing like hours upon hours of Zelda, I'm used to it. And yeah, even more hours exactly. of Mario Kart 8. I just lay it down on my lap. So I don't know. I just think the extra juice is nice. Why double A's?
Why? I don't know. Why not just some other rechargeable battery packs and lithium ion? I don't know. I mean, you could always put in your own chargeable Energizer batteries or whatever, but like it just seems a little weird.
Okay, no. Hardware USB. Makers, hardware makers, console makers, stop making shit for AA batteries. Stop it. Just stop it. Stop. Stop. You're thinking about it. Just stop it.
It is cheaper.
So much cheaper.
It is cheaper, but it's so bad for the environment. And who has AA batteries anymore?
That's the truth. Simon raises his hand.
I mean, I have an Xbox, and I have two Xbox controllers that need AA batteries.
I've got the rechargeable packs.
Yeah, I bought a charging station that came with two rechargeable packs, and now they all have their own packs. Yeah,
well, aren't you guys fancy schmancy? Right?
We are fancy schmancy. We're against AA's.
I just got an Xbox, so leave me alone, right there. My birthday's in May, so write that shit down. All right.
All right, we're buying you a chargeable battery pack thing from Costco. Exactly. Catherine, we're going on an adventure to Costco.
Exactly. I hope you have a card because I do.
You fucking adult, you.
I know. I'm such an adult. So yeah, that was like a 40-minute, I want to say, jam-packed, full Nintendo Direct. And the way they did it was so interesting. It was like they came out first. They're like, we know you're here to see Switch news, but just wait. And then they rambled off all this 3DS stuff. They had a list of at least 15 things that they went through, including stuff to do with like Kirby and all this. I didn't even talk about that because I've kind of like left my 3DS on the wayside, but I was like sitting there and it was just like bang, bang, bang. I couldn't even live tweet because I was like, there's just too much. I can't keep up. I can't. It's too much. I just got home from work. I wanted to relax and watch some Splatoon 2 and ARMS news, and you guys had to throw all this at me. It was a lot. And then, yes, they came out with all the Switch news. And you know what? I'm ready for some new Switch games because, you know, I'm on the tail end of Zelda. So I need my next game. And it looks like there's some good stuff coming.
Are you saying you don't like playing 1-2 Switch? It looks so fantastic.
Oh, God. The only time I play 1-2 Switch is when I'm drunk and there's friends over and it's a party. Or I want to show somebody something else besides Zelda that they can try easily on the Switch.
You
want to
show that baby game?
It's a fucking demo. It's a tech demo.
I know. It's the baby game, which makes me creep out. And the hot dog one. Oh, God.
It legitimately feels like Mario Sports. Or, no, hold on. Wii Sports.
That was fun.
Being cool as Wii Sports.
Yeah, Wii Sports was fun.
Because
bowling.
Wii Sports was like stuff you do on a Friday night, except in your house.
Yeah.
I don't know. So, yeah. I need some other games to play. It's time. So, yeah, looking forward to some, on my Switch. I need stuff on the go. Next week, I'm traveling Wednesday to Saturday. So I need, like, this is perfect time. I need something to play. I'll be playing Zelda, and I have another little game that I'll be playing, too. More on that next week. So, yeah, I think that's pretty much the news, unless you guys got anything else you want to talk about.
You wanted to say what the fuck a teraflop is.
Why? Oh, yeah. Okay, so last week, that's true. So last week, Kat and I spoke about all the stuff that came out about Xbox Scorpio. And we sat here, and Simon was sick, and Allie was gone because she's packing. And we were like, we don't have a sweet clue what's going on. And we just started saying flippy, floopy, floops, and teraflops, and whatnot.
Mm-hmm. Simon, we got the gist of it. We got the gist of the specs, but we're not tech heads.
Yeah, but still, everything anybody ever shoots out about this console is a teraflop. What the F is a teraflop? Please, enlighten us.
Do you want to know what a teraflop is?
Yes, please. Yes.
It's basically just a unit of measurement of power.
Okay, so can you give us some context?
For example, I'll give a computer example.
Okay.
When you buy a processor, your processor has a speed of 2.4 gigahertz or 3.5 gigahertz or whatever.
Right.
That's the speed at which the computer works. It's pretty much the same thing for teraflops, as in it's the, hold on, I had it written down here, represents the trillion floating point operations per second. So it's pretty much the amount of operation per second that the video card can calculate.
Okay. The video card.
Yes. Well,
so the teraflops are in the video card, not in the CPU.
Yes, exactly. And they were saying, for example, the GTX 1070 graphics card, which is a PC graphics card, which is a fantastic graphic card. It says it's at 6.5 teraflop, whereas a Scorpio is at 6 or something.
Okay, so it's putting it up on the level of a legit gaming PC.
However...
However... Okay.
It's actually good news for the Xbox, because... The Xbox hardware never changes. The driver is always the same. The hardware is always the same. So it's much easier for companies to develop their game for that specific video card to optimize the performance than... Because there's a GTX 1070, yes, but Asus makes one, MSI makes one, EVGA makes one, which all have different hardware, all have different clock speed, all have different, you know, so...
Okay.
So, but the fact that it's the same makes it easier for companies to like build on it. And it's why, like, if you look at early PlayStation games, PlayStation 3 games, and then the end of gen PlayStation 3 games, it's the same hardware, but companies just know it so much that they can get the most out of it because it never freaking changes. So that's what it is. So, but the bigger the number does not necessarily mean that it's going to be better. It just means that there's potential for it to be better.
Okay.
If it's coded and all that properly.
So if you look at it from the side of Kat and I doing web design,
yeah,
it's like the... Instead of having... Like, when we do web design, we have to think about Google Chrome. We have to think about different versions of Google Chrome.
Yeah.
Then we think about Firefox, same thing. Yeah. Internet Explorer, Edge, mobile devices, all these different browsers that we have to make something work.
I don't really think about Internet Explorer, though.
Oh, shush.
We don't talk about IE.
Whatever. You know what I mean. We did.
Don't say its name. If you say its name, it's real.
It's dead.
It's like Beetlejuice. So this is in the case where imagine you only have two different versions to use. The Xbox One, which covers everybody who has an Xbox One and Xbox One S, mm-hmm. and the version that is Scorpio. So mm-hmm. you make the fancy pants awesome one for the Scorpio, so it mm-hmm. works everywhere for those people, and then you dumb it down a little bit so that it works for all the people on the S and the original One.
That's the goal. I feel that at first that's not how it's going to be. I feel that at first it's going to be developed for Xbox One, and they're going to upscale it for the Scorpio, but then when it's going to be like further down the console's lifespan, then I think they're going to develop games for the Scorpio for what the Scorpio can handle, push it to the limit, and then downgrade the heck out of everything so that you're able to play it on Xbox One or that kind of stuff.
Okay. This doesn't seem to really help non first party game companies, because now they have Scorpio, mm-hmm. Xbox One and S, PlayStation 4 Pro,
yeah.
PlayStation 4, Nintendo Switch,
uh-huh.
PC. There's uh-huh. still a lot of different versions.
Yes. Yes and no, because I want to... From what I've read from the Xbox Scorpio spec, and even the Xbox One, more and more of the specs, especially for the Scorpio, more and more, they're getting closer and closer to PC component level gaming PC, like 12 gigs of RAM, I think it's an AMD CPU at 2.4 gigs. You know, it's getting a lot closer to what PCs have been doing for a while, and so yes, it's there's still a lot of consoles and different platforms to build on, but I feel that more and more, especially Microsoft, I think more and more are reducing the gap in performance between gaming PCs and gaming consoles. So, and well, you know, of course Microsoft, because they have boat and market pretty much covered, so more and more that they are really building on it, while PlayStation seem to go the other way. They seem to make shit even more complicated for devs to be able to port their games to one platform to the other, whereas Microsoft is like, no, we'll make it easier and make it work for PC and for Xbox. So that's the market that we're aiming for. So props to props to Microsoft. I'm really happy to see them trying to blend both those worlds together after all those years of hating each other.
Simon, I missed you last week.
Hello.
I feel so much smarter now.
Oh,
so essentially,
don't.
A teraflop always existed, but Microsoft's the first one to like
No, Teraflop's been around for a long time. It's
it sounds like a spin word, though.
It's the first time I heard the word teraflop is when they revealed the Scorpio.
Yeah, no, it's been around for a video card in the video card market. It's just never used because it's a fancy word that doesn't really mean anything apart from computing power. It's kind of really fucking vague, you know. It's the important part on a video card is you want to know the clock speed. You want to know how much RAM it, how much memory it has. The speed of that memory, you know, that's the kind of stuff that is interesting as a PC gamer anyways. And I think they're trying to use a different kind of benchmarking names or tools for consoles. So instead of like giving out the processing speed of the CPU and how much RAM and all that kind of stuff it has, they're like, no, it does 6.5 teraflops. And that's the, so, you know, look for that word in the upcoming consoles. They're going to be, now this is 12 teraflops, and then it's going to be 15 teraflops. And that's, I think that's going to be the new standard for performance in consoles now. It's going to be the teraflop.
It's like megapixels in cameras.
It's the same. That's actually a great fucking comparison. It's like the same thing. Yeah, that is exactly what it is. So yes, more is better, but it doesn't mean that it's going to be amazing because it's three times as much teraflops or many teraflops or whatever you want
to
call it.
Just because you have lots of megapixels doesn't mean you know how to take a photo.
Exactly.
It doesn't mean it's going to be in focus.
That is actually probably what I should have said from the beginning. So, good job, Leah. Teraflop is a megapixel. Don't buy the hype.
Anyway, Microsoft confirmed that they are going to release more details about the Scorpio at E3.
Yeah. So
we expected that. I imagine a price, a date, and seeing what the box looks like.
I want to say $1,000.
People are saying less than that, my friend.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I was thinking 800,
I
want to
say like
900.
$899 or something like
I'm
that.
Hearing like the $599 range, like talking PS3 stuff. US.
Yeah, so $899 Canadian.
Yeah.
poor,
we're talking Canadian.
Poor Canada.
I meant Beaver dollars. So I want to say $899 Beaver dollars.
And then add on the eco tax for here in Quebec.
And eco tax. And Xbox Live thing and an extra controller. And I'm still salty about having to pay for online. But
and whatever. A rechargeable battery pack.
Yes.
Yep, for Simon.
For Simon.
All right, folks. It's time to get into the topic of the show. And this week, we've got a sweet interview with Dom, who is the game designer of Flint Hook, coming out real soon from Tribute Games. You probably know them from a few games like Curses and Chaos, Mercenary Kings, Ninja Senki DX, and Wizorb. So, without further ado, let's talk to Dom.
So, Dom, we're here getting a chance to go hands-on with Flint Hook before the release. Release date is
April 18, so less than a week from now.
Awesome. So for those folks who are not familiar with the game, can you give the premise?
Sure. In Flint Hook, you'll play as a space pirate going into ships to steal all the treasure and loot, and you'll do that with your hookshot, your gun, and your slow-mo power. So you have a kind of a cool set of gadgets there, and that's the premise. Yeah.
And is your character Flint Hook?
Yep.
His name is Flint Hook.
Yeah. Okay. Space Captain Flint Hook.
Space Captain. I like that. I love this mix of space and pirates together.
Yeah.
And you guys very much have that in the art. They look like straight up pirate ships in the middle of space.
Yeah. They're kind of broken wooden spaceships, which is weird because it shouldn't work, but they actually make it work. And we kind of mix pirates with weird aliens also. Like all the enemies are like weird birds or blobby thing. It was a lot of fun, but it also makes sense in terms of design, because then we can make the aliens do whatever we want. Like it could be like a four-armed shooter that flies, and it was very useful to do that.
Nice. And the cool thing about this game, it's platformer, is that yes, it's a platformer and you're used to going through and, you know, kind of learning the lay of the land, but it's not quite that way because you guys have it as procedural generated.
Yep. yeah, the game will never be the same every time you play. Like, you'll have repeated elements like hazards and enemies, mm-hmm. but the ships will always be different.
So not only the enemies being different generated, but it's also the map.
Yeah.
So you might jump into one ship and think, and then die, and then be like, okay, I have an idea, and then nope. You pull the carpet out from under someone, and they have to go in and try again and learn a whole new map.
Yep. Yeah, like I said, the elements will be repeated, but the maps are always different.
That's
but,
so cool.
Yeah. It feels cool also because after a while, you'll learn some of the elements, some of the rooms. Like you might see rooms being repeated, but mm-hmm. they'll be slightly different. So I think you can still get like comfortable in the first few ships. And once you're comfortable, you finally beat it, you get to the second environment, and now it's a whole brand new set of things.
You mess with us again. I definitely noticed that when I was playing the game. I just played for about 20 minutes or so. And when you first get in, it feels like the speed of the game is going really fast, but it's almost beneficial for you to sit and just look around.
Yeah.
As long as you're not like landing on some spikes mm-hmm. or have some of those like swarm fly things come at you. What are they called? Fly axe?
Yeah, fly axe.
Yeah, those things are annoying. Those tiny little ones, yeah. but it's almost in your best interest to just sit back and mm-hmm. like relax and get lay of the land first because you might never ever see that again.
Yeah. It's cool that you notice because that's a trick that we use. Most of the enemies and hazards at first are not that threatening. Like, they're not, like, actively going after you. Mm-hmm. But later on, like, you get into a room and you'll have things swarming you or shooting at you directly. At first, take your time. Like, look at everything that's going on and try to figure out a plan, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Mm. There's a boss at the end of every ship?
At the end of every ship, there's a room that's slightly harder.
Okay.
And we kind of use the good old retro trick of introducing enemies as some kind of bosses. And
okay.
So at the end of every ship, you'll see a tougher enemy, which might become a normal enemy later on. But also, after a number of ships, you get an actual boss. And those are pretty tough. And you'll have to be used to the hook and the gun and all that. And use your slow-mo also.
Oh. Yeah. Do you have to make your way through a ship in order to get to that boss, or does that become just a part that you can jump in, jump out? Because my problem was I kept dying,
yeah.
And then I was like, oh, well, I'll just go in and I have a better idea. No, obviously not with the procedural right. generated. But with the boss, is it the same kind of mechanic?
Yeah, you have to go through three ships, and then the boss is doesn't have a ship, it's just
him.
But if you die on the boss, you have to start over the three ships and survive again.
If you have to do the three ships again.
Yeah.
Oh, snap.
But yeah, we also put a lot of progression systems in the game.
Okay.
So if you die, you still get something out of it. It's not one of those super hardcore roguelikes that you get absolutely nothing out of. Like you get some gold that can be that give you more perks, like mm-hmm. things to equip, and coins that you can buy permanent upgrades with. So it's not so bad.
Let's talk about the perks. Even just jumping in first round 20 minutes, I was collecting perks right off the bat. Now, it seems like you can be getting them during your playthrough, but then almost you have these, like, scratch cards. They kind of remind me of, like, the bubblegum baseball cards that
yeah,
you got
much.
As a kid.
Yeah.
You open up and you get a perk
booster
out of it.
Packs, yeah.
Booster packs, yeah.
Yeah. So I wanted something that was collectible, so we created over 100 different perks that you can equip. So you can get them during the run, but they won't stick. Like, they will disappear when you die.
Okay.
But the ones you get through leveling up in the packs, those will be permanent. You can equip a certain number of them at the start of each run. Mm-hmm.
All right, let's talk about the art. Now, you guys here at Tribute Games have done a lot of pixel art.
Yeah.
You guys are one of the masters at doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to say, the style of this is gorgeous. You guys obviously wanted to continue with that theme.
Yeah, always. I think we're always going to do pixel art because that's the artists here have become masters of that style.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And
it goes
way beyond just being a tribute to old games. Like, it's its own style now, I think. This one is especially, in terms of colors and animation and detail, it goes way beyond retro games.
Mm-hmm. How do you animate with pixel art? Because this game is smooth.
Magic.
Like, oh my god. That's one thing I noticed. The transition between when you're hooking and flying through the air and even when you're zipping through the little pipes to go in between mm-hmm. rooms, so fluid.
Yeah, Johan Vinet is our animator, and I think he has magic talent or magic powers.
Mad skills, man.
Yeah.
Mad skills.
I think it shows also that we're going beyond, because normally an animation for like shooting or jumping, whatever, is in retro games, it was just the same sprite with like 1 foot in a different position.
Yeah.
But Johan goes way beyond by doing a lot of swiping movements and like full on like Disney-like animation with pixel art, which is crazy. I don't know how he does it.
Yeah, it's fantastic. And you guys, I'm here today because Xbox reached out, because you guys are affiliated with ID at Xbox.
Yep.
How's that process been?
Oh, it's great. We had a lot of support from Xbox from the start. They sent us through E3 to be in the indie showcase.
Oh, cool.
Which was really amazing. We got a lot of people coming in and playing the game there. Just porting it to Xbox was great. We're really happy to reach that crowd also.
Is it going to be on PC as well?
Yeah, PC, PS4, and Xbox.
Wow.
Also Mac and Linux on Steam.
Oh, great, yeah. Great. The story.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, I didn't get very much of the story because I didn't find any libraries? Is that what it's called?
Yeah, there's a lot of lore you can collect through the libraries. Mm-hmm. You get scrolls and books that tell you about bits and pieces of the Flinthook universe.
Mm-hmm.
And the rest is told through other collectibles, relics, and mm-hmm. all that. But have you seen the intro to the game?
Yeah, briefly, yes.
So we kind of made the game story feel like a cartoon. So you get a lot of vague story from a cartoon's intro, like you know the basics, like you know he's a pirate and he has enemies and he collects gold and mm-hmm. there's some mysterious figure at the end, and we kind of wanted to keep it that way for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
There is a little bit more information as you finish the bosses, like you get a little bit of a cutscene.
Mm-hmm.
And at the ending also, but mostly yeah, it'll be true collectibles, Dark Souls style, just a little bit more info about this weird mysterious world.
Now, I know the game's not even out yet, but I'm going to ask about DLC.
Sure.
Is that something you guys do?
I guess for now, the plan is we'll see how popular the game gets, like if it sells, if the community likes it,
mm-hmm.
And then we'll see what the community wants. Of course, I have a lot of ideas of content that I want to put. We have so many ideas that we can do in terms of new levels, new ships, new goals. I'd also like to support the speedrun community a little bit more.
I can see that being very popular.
Yeah, we already do a couple things to help them out, but I'd like to have a specific speedrun mode in there. So things like that, yeah.
Yeah, I think I remember you telling me about a challenge mode as well that you unlock as you go.
Yeah, we have a daily and a weekly challenge mode, which is inspired by Spelunky's challenge mode.
Nice.
So every day you get a ship, and all the players will get the same ship, and you get to compare your score with everyone else, but you only get one chance, and that's it.
Oh, so better get good.
Yeah, and same for the weekly, like we wanted something a little bit more competitive, like having just 1 week. And the weekly thing is interesting because you could also watch streamers play the game, the level, and then you know a little bit more and you get to play it yourself.
Are those also procedurally generated?
Yeah, they're procedurally generated, but we send the seed to everyone, so they all get the same random level.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, neat. So you could get beneficial if someone goes and streams it and then you jump in afterwards.
Yeah.
Sneaky. So once the game's launched, what's up for Tribute?
So we have already another game in the works.
Nice.
Which I cannot talk about.
Dun, dun, dun. Sneaky.
But we're pretty excited about it. It should be another big game in terms of scope. It should be around Flinthook and Mercenary King size. So, yeah, I wish... actually, there's information about it behind you, but you can't show it, so that's fine.
We're doing this in audio.
Yeah.
There you go. No video. All the sneaky stuff. All the secrets are behind me. So for you guys, I guess next step for showing off the game besides launch day, do you think you'll be bringing it back to other conventions and things like that? Or will you be moving on to this new unnamed title?
I think we might show it again like a couple times to spread the word, because we need all the the spreading of the word.
That's what we're here to do. Spread the good word.
Yeah, spread the word. And if you like the game, keep talking about it, because it's going to be really helpful, because there's so many games coming out.
I know. It's crazy.
Like, just in the same day that we released, there's like four other big games, big indie games coming out.
Wow. It's crazy. It's so awesome, the talent, especially here in Montreal. Your studio, you guys moved in here like almost a year ago.
Yeah.
You're also in here with Compulsion. In the same building.
Double Stallion also is here.
That's awesome.
And the Jotun guys also.
Oh, yeah. So you guys are all buddies?
Yeah, we're all buddies.
Go out for beers on a Friday afternoon?
Sometimes, yeah.
Sometimes. That's good. That's good. Do you guys play test each other's games?
I think they came by and played Flinthook for a while, yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah.
It's a good community here in Montreal.
That's the truth.
Really great.
Yeah, sweet. All right, before I let you go, can you let the folks know all the details to go check out Flinthook?
Yeah.
Where they can buy the game?
Flinthook.com if you want the big picture. Otherwise, it's going to be on Steam, PS4, Xbox One on April 18. I think you can pre-order on most of these right now. And yeah, hope you guys buy it and play it and like it and spread the word.
Yay! Sweet. All right. Thank you so much,
Thank
Tom.
You.
Pretty much wraps up our show for this week. Of course, before we let you go, I want to remind you, you need to go check out Fun.io. That's our wonderful web hosting company. If you're looking for a big VPS server or maybe something a little smaller like hosting your WordPress blog, you should go check them out. Stream schedule wise, Simon, what's up? I think we had someone join the team.
Yes, actually, we have... I think she's a friend of yours, Leia.
Yeah, just a little.
if you've watched Leia's stream, you've been privy to kind of the introduction to Nixie, who's going to be joining the stream team this week, if she hasn't already, because we're recording on Thursday, so she might be already. if you haven't seen the announcement, basically just she streams a lot of shooters from what I've seen. She's really interesting. She has a great personality, and I think she's going to be a great fit for the rest of the team.
She brought me through Halo.
Yeah, that's always good. Mm-hmm. As always, if ever you're bored, not sure what to do, don't know what you want to watch, nothing on TV, the Habs are losing, just go at go to girlsongames.tv and there's going to be someone streaming for you guys, definitely. Or check us on the Twitter or the social to see what's up. Leah, what are our social media stuff?
Oh, yeah, the Girls on Games on Twitter and Facebook, and Girls on Games on Instagram. Follow all that. Kat, what's going on our fancy pants website that Fun.io hosts?
Well, Art Examination is back. We have a Broken Age and a look at how it brought storybook elements to a video game. We also have 9 geeky inspired rock songs inspired by stuff from comic books, movies, and video games. So if you're looking to add stuff to your gaming playlists, check that out. If you haven't yet seen our reviews, there's new reviews for Lego World, there's reviews for Snakebite Switch accessories, and we have review for Mass Effect Andromeda, because that shit is not dead yet. And of course, Leah's article on how Breath of the Wild is now her favorite game instead of Ocarina of Time.
Good choice.
And we have upcoming articles on Horizon Zero Dawn, on Red Dead Redemption 2, and everything. So make sure to check girlsongames.ca regularly, because we do a lot of cool shit.
Thanks, Kat. So I want to thank everybody on the panel for coming to hang out. Of course, I want to thank the folks at Flinthook and Tribute Games and Xbox Canada for hosting that really cool event to let me go check out the game. Before I let you go, Simo and Kat, want to let everybody know how they can follow you on the social medias. Kat, how about you?
I'm at CSDESBINS on Twitter, Instagram. You can find me on Beam, beam.pro/CSDBINS. I've been streaming creative stuff, watercolors, mostly Monday nights and once in a while on a Friday night. So Steffi watched me and she said it was almost like an ASMR video. She watched me and she fell asleep.
I don't get ASMR.
Because I was so soothing.
Relaxing.
She said it was a very soothing experience, probably because I was very concentrated on my work. So if you're tired of people like just yelling at their Overwatch team, come and watch me paint.
Shots fired! Simon, my dear, how about
Hello.
You? Hello.
I am G Simon M on Twitter, but don't bother. If you wanna if you wanna come hang out, I stream like three times a week. I am on beam.pro/42, the number 2 at the end of 40.
I'm Leah Jewer on most social media. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram, GOG Leah on Beam and Xbox Live if you want to play together. Someone asked me the other day how to pronounce my name on Beam, like legit. And I was like, well, many people say Goglia, but that's not my name.
It's
G-O-G Leah. I should have put
it's
an underscore.
It's Googlia.
Googlia. It's hilarious. But of course, you guys really want to know about Girls on Games, and you can follow us at The Girls on Games on Facebook and Twitter, Girls on Games on Instagram. If you want to continue this wonderful discussion, go to discord.me/girlsongames. We're chatting all the time. But of course, everything you ever need to know about Girls on Games is on our website. That's girlsongames.ca. So once again, thank you very much for listening. Thank you, Kat. Thank you, Simon. Thank you, folks at Tribute Games. And I want y'all to have a very, very nice week and happy gaming. See you later.